Good evening to each one gathered out this evening. It's good to see each one here. And not sure how you feel tonight. I'm sure that in this congregation there's been people that have tried to figure out what God's will was and is. And I wonder how you came to the conclusion of what God's will is. And when I received this request for this message, I thought, how will I preach on how do we discern the will of God? And our brother already talked about it. We serve this God that's so great and so wonderful, so much above us. How big is your God? I was going to start by saying, who is God? But our brother already introduced it. He's Creator, Almighty One, Everlasting One. Always was and always will be the owner of all things. So is it important that we discern His will? Is it important that we know what this God wants? Does it matter? I'm going to suggest this evening that it is important. It is important because Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as who? My brother, my sister, and mother." So if we want to be part of the family of God, then it's important that we live according to the will of God. Live inside of His will. So how do we do that? How do we figure out what that is? Well, I don't have all the answers this evening because we don't know everything that God knows. And we can't think like He thinks. But I thought about different ways that we discern His will, one that we all know of, one clear way that we use in our churches that we all are familiar with, and that is when we have an ordination. And we get to that point in the ordination where there's several men in the class, and we have to use the lot, try to decide. And that's God revealing His will. Here's the one I've chosen. And it's interesting if you look at the use of the lot, that God has honored that. Even in evil men, think about Jonah there. Those men, Jonah, the boat was gone to pieces, and the men didn't know what to do, and so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And I think about how that wicked men, and God revealed His will to them. He's like, Jonah's the problem. And they went with it. It's interesting, numerous times that happened in the Old Testament where it wasn't really necessarily godly men, but there was ways that God has always revealed His will, and He will continue to reveal His will to us, and we can be sure of that. So I was looking a little bit at the title, Discerning, and that is kind of the idea is to have a clear idea of. Or you could discern has the idea of to come to recognize, to detect with senses other than vision, which I found that the thing of discerning, to detect with senses other than vision, I thought that was interesting because we can't see God. Everyone, I assume everybody here has seen God. So we have to somehow understand what God wants without seeing Him. So when I thought about discerning, I thought, well, maybe the title we could have just put to know or recognize what God desires, because that's really what we want to do. We want to know and recognize what God desires. And I assume tonight that's for all of us here. That's what we want. We want for the young men and young ladies, if you're looking at courting, young man's looking for a girl, he wants the young lady that God has for him. He wants the one that God wants him to have. It's a common prayer for the young man. Lord, what do you, how do I know? I don't know which girl I should ask. And then whenever the girl gets asked, then it's like, Lord, how do I know if this is the right fellow? How do we figure this stuff out? Is it cut and dried? Is there only one match? Is there only one girl out there for me? I got to make sure I find this girl. Is there only one boy? And I don't have the answer to that. I don't have the answer to all these things. But I think that there's ways we can find rest in knowing whether this is something we should pursue or not. And we're going to talk about a few of those ways maybe tonight. But we want to know, as you get older, you want to know whether you're involved in the right occupation. I don't know how many here sometimes think, well, God, am I involved in the occupation you want me to be involved in? And we try to decide whether we're living in the kind of house He wants us to live in. Trying to decide if we're living in the area He wants us to live in. Some people go through that thing as maybe I should be living somewhere, maybe in a different country, or in some, am I where God wants me? And it comes down to sometimes we ask ourselves, Am I driving the kind of vehicle God wants me to drive? I mean, does God care about the vehicles we drive? Does God care about the music we listen to? Does God care about our social media that we message with and get involved in? Does God care about these things? And he does. He cares about all these things. But how do we figure out whether it's what he wants or not? How do we discern his will? And then we come to some more things that we question, and that is we want to know why people, godly people, people we love, get injured. Or they have cancer. They die at young age. And we look at these people, and recently I was at a wedding, and this man and his wife was there, and his wife was a total invalid. She was in her 50s, I was told, but she's a total invalid, sat there in the center aisle, and she had some disease that made her so she could no longer communicate. She couldn't move anything by herself. Her husband sat there beside her and took care of her, adjusted her head occasionally, put a little pillow underneath her chin. It was a beautiful picture of a marriage, a man caring for his wife. But you think, God, why? Why does this happen? How do we reckon the fact that these things happened? I'm going to say godly people, the good people. And I'm sure you have some of those thoughts right here in this congregation with some of the experience you've been through. Why does these things happen? And can we know? Well, no, we can't know. We can't know all these things. I'm convinced we can't, because it's in Isaiah, he writes about God's mercy and says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So there's no way we'll ever get to the point where we just understand this is exactly why God made this happen. Just we won't ever get there, I don't think. And Paul writes to the Romans, oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways, what? Past finding out. There's just certain things that I don't think we'll ever know on this side of eternity. And we need to be okay with that. So does this mean we just can't know? We just live in this life and things happen to us. We never really know. Well, I don't think it does. I think we can know. But I believe we will always live on this side of eternity with things happening that we can't understand. And there will be times when things are out of control. And this has happened for years. Not too long ago, I read through the book of Habakkuk. And the book of Habakkuk, it starts with Habakkuk saying to God, he's wrestling with things that's happening. And he says this in Habakkuk 1 verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. He's saying, Lord, how long do I just keep saying, Lord, can you change the situation? Lord, can you help me understand why this is happening? Lord, why don't you hear my prayer? And I imagine there's many here, or at least some here, that have found themselves in that situation. You pray and you ask God about things, and he doesn't seem to give you this, you know, back in the Old Testament, we read about how God just revealed himself to people. He just come down and talked to Moses. He told Moses, he says, I want you to, you know, go take these people out of Egypt. And Moses said, how am I going to do it? Well, this is how you do it. And we kind of just wish God would come down sometimes and talk to us and say, this is exactly what my plan is. This is what I want you to do. But that's not the way God works. And Habakkuk, if you read the whole book of Habakkuk, you read how Habakkuk kind of had a dialogue with God, and God explained some things to Habakkuk. And finally, down at the end of Habakkuk, Habakkuk says these words. And Habakkuk still didn't understand everything about God, but he came down to where he was willing to take whatever God's will was and say, it's okay. And he says this at the end of Habakkuk, back to chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. Although the fig trees will not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there will be no herd in the stalls. So Habakkuk, if you think about what he's saying there, he's saying it, and though everything goes wrong in my language, though everything goes wrong, and though everything that we think we should have, we don't have. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds feet, and he will make me to walk upon high places. Habakkuk came to the realization through his discourse with God there was going to be things that happen that are inside of God's will that human, but we will never understand. And at the end of that dialogue, his response, Habakkuk's response was, it's okay. Because it's God's will. And God was in control. And I don't know how exactly Habakkuk got there. And I'm not sure if I think it takes time to get there. I think it's hard to get there. But it's what we want. When we really want God's will and we really want to understand God's will, then there's certain things that we have to say it is God's will. And it's okay, no matter how hard it is. So tonight, how do we discern God's will? And I thought about how we just simply discern other, you know, you have people in your life you know, and the better you know someone, the sooner you know what their will is or what their desires are. In a marriage relationship, it doesn't go too long. It's been a while since I was newly married. But it doesn't go too long until you know exactly what your wife or your husband likes and wants and wants done. And when a subject comes up, you kind of know where they're going to come out on it. And we Mennonites do good at establishing committees. And the same thing happens in committees. You serve on a committee with men from your congregation or maybe from other congregations. And after you serve on a committee a while, you know when a discussion comes up or an issue comes up that this is where they'll come out. This is where that person will probably be his opinion on what to do about this situation, because you know that, okay? So how do we discern God's will? First of all, we need to know him, but we have this little problem that no man has seen God. And we're used to making decisions when we see people, and we look at the way their expressions are, and we start to figure out what they want or what they don't want. But God told Moses, no man shall see me and live. And John reaffirms this in the New Testament, in John 1, verse 18, that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is of the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. So we have this God that we need to discern his will, but we can't see him. And then picking up a little bit on my earlier thought, and that is, that how many of you here has just had God's voice just come down and speak to you and say, this is what you're supposed to do. This is the answer to your problem, and go with it. And maybe there is someone here that had an experience where God came down and spoke to him. I've had his spirit, I believe, speak, and you can sense a connection with God. Just have God's audible voice come down like they did in the Old Testament, and like the angel came to Mary and says, you're going to have a son. And the disciples, as they walked to Jesus, and Jesus talked about his Father, they had some of the same thoughts. They said, Lord, they said, Jesus, show us the Father. You know, who is this God? You keep speaking about your Father. Show him to us. And Jesus said, well, you've seen me, then you've known my Father. So my point tonight is, and that is, that if we know Jesus, and we know what Jesus says because of the Word, then we have a little idea on what the Father's will is. So here we are, 2,000 years removed from when Christ walked on this earth, and we're still asking the question, how do we discern God's will? What's it take? My first point is, and that is, we need a desire to be taught. And David, in Psalm chapter 143, verse 10, says this, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. And that needs to be the desire of every person here, and I believe that's probably the foundation to understanding the will of God, and that is that we need to have a desire to know his will. If you don't care and say, I've got this, I don't really care what anybody else thinks, then I don't think you're going to ever discern God's will, because the only way you'll find out God's will in that is if you're looking for that. You have to have a desire. You have to be taught. And I have three ways here at the start that I think we can use to know what his will is. And letter A is, God's will is revealed through his word. And we know that. I already said that. God's will is revealed right here. Jesus spoke a lot about what God wants. And it's right here. It's revealed. And you go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I have a lot of these scriptures in my notes, but we could turn to some of them. This is This is one place in Scripture that it clearly shows what God's will is for mankind. And there's His will is revealed all through Scripture, but I like this one for a certain reason. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We have these words, starting at verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. My dear brothers and sisters, tonight, God has allowed us to continue to live. He allows everyone in this world to continue to live because it is his will that no one would perish. That all would come to repentance. And that is his will. So I'm just going to take that a little bit further, and that is sometimes, and I'm not totally sure, we talked about this in Sunday school, about whichever Sunday we were talking about, the people were praying for Peter when he's in jail. And we talked about how we often pray, and then we'll say, if it's God's will. And we talked about in our Sunday school, whether that's just a catch to put on the end in case it doesn't happen, is it a sign of lack of faith, or why we put that in there? And I think it's because we want God's will, but there's one thing that we should never put on the end. If you're ever praying for a lost soul, you don't ask if it's God's will. Because it is God's will that every person would repent. And I know that, I've heard it, that people will pray for somebody that hasn't accepted Christ or somebody that's in sin. And if it's your will, and I'm thinking, we need to think about when we say if it's your will, that is God's will. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're trying to decide whether God is calling you, and you're of age and are making life decisions, it is God's will that you would accept Him. There's no reason to try to have to decide whether you should now or you should next week, or if you're of age and are making life decisions, God wants you to make that decision. That's not a question. That is His will. If you're ever in the community and you wonder if you should speak a word to somebody about Jesus, and that thought crossed your mind, should I say something to him? You should. Because that's God's will. God's will is that all would repent. Another way that God reveals his will, and that is through his Spirit. God's will is revealed through his Spirit. And Jesus said this, "Howbeit he, when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you into all truth." So in order to know the will of God, we must be filled with his Spirit. "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And we can take that with us tonight, and that is, if we're filled with his Spirit, he will show us what the Father's will is. He will. But in order to be filled with his Spirit, there's some things that must happen, and that is, first of all, we must love God. And in order to love God, we live in this society where, I don't know how it is here, but in Winchester where I live, there's many, many people that, oh, they love God. And, oh yeah, we love God. But what does loving God mean? Jesus clearly pointed out that loving God involves more than just saying, I love God. So married people here know that it doesn't really matter how many times you tell your husband or your wife that you love them, if you never prove it by the way you treat them or by what you do and by doing what they want you to do, it's soon not going to mean anything. Okay? And that's the way it is with God. In John chapter 14, we have Jesus saying these words. John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him." And what? By loving God and by keeping his words, it says, "And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Holy Spirit will infill you. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So tonight, In order to love God, in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must obey His commandments. And recently in my devotions, I'm reading through Leviticus. And God had commandments back then to people. And He said, this is what you should do and this is what you should not do. And we have these two men at the end of Leviticus, beginning of Leviticus chapter 10. It talks about Nadab and Abihu. They were sons of Aaron. And it says this in verse 1 and 2, that they took either of them censers and put fire therein and put incense therein and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. God says, you're not supposed to offer strange fire. And these men went and did it anyway. And what was the result? Well, there went a fire out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died instantly. Now that doesn't happen like that so much in our day. But we live in a world where we have preachers and churches that are taking the Word of God and are switching it and changing it around and saying, well, you know, marriage is supposed to be a joyful thing. And if you and your first spouse aren't getting along, then apparently it wasn't God's will, so you need to do something about it because God wants you to live a happy life. Is that obeying God? No. So when you start to take the truths of Scripture and twist them, may I submit to you that the Holy Spirit will not be a part of your life, and for you to discern the Lord's will, it will get off track fast. That's what I believe. And tonight, if you're not, and if we're not trying to live in obedience to the Scriptures, and we hear a little inner voice, it's probably not the Holy Spirit's voice, it's the devil's voice saying, did God really say? He started that in Eve, and he's been saying it ever since. Did God really say? Does it really mean what it says? And we can fast get off track with that. Another way God reveals His will, letter C, is God's will is revealed through other godly people. And we talk about this sometimes as far as, in a church brotherhood, we need to always be mindful of what other people are saying. I was thinking about a scripture, and my mind immediately went to Saul. You know, Saul, he's busy. He's busy destroying Christians, and he's headed down there on the road to Damascus. And he's headed down there, and all of a sudden this light strikes from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard this voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling in his spot and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, God smote him down, okay? And God, and he asked God what he should do. He asked, what should I do? And you know, it would have been really easy for God to say, well, this is what you need to do. You need to go down and need to go to... And he told him to go to the city. But he said, that's it. He said, there's somebody who will tell you what to do. So Paul had this direct revelation from God, but God only showed him so much, and then he quit. And then we have this man, Ananias. We have God speaking to Ananias in a vision in Acts 9, verses 10 to 17. And the Lord said in a vision to Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he's seen a vision of a man, Ananias, coming in and putting his hands on him and saying, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many of this man, how wicked he is. And Ananias said, I'm scared. And the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my names before Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we have right after that how that Paul spent certain days with the disciples. What was he there doing? Well, he was learning. He was learning more about God. He was hearing from other people that were filled with the Holy Spirit. He hearing from other people that had a connection to God. And God stopped Saul. But then it seems like many times after that, Saul relied on other men to influence his life. So tonight, we have these three things, the Word and the Spirit and other godly people. And I'm going to suggest to you tonight that if you're trying to discern the Lord's will, that they will all kind of line, they will all kind of agree. If you think I've got it, and everyone you're trying to go to church with says, well, when we look at this issue, we think that it's not going to turn out well. And you say, well, I don't care what you all think, this is what God wants me to do. Well, think about that. Think about where we can get off track whenever we quit heeding and quit listening to the brotherhood. It's important. That's what the brotherhood's for. And sometimes people say, well, the Spirit told me I should do such and such. And you look at the Bible and say, well, it doesn't line up with Scripture. These things have to agree. There's certain things that have to agree before we know that this is actually God's will. So tonight, as we look at these, think about those three areas, and I have just a couple of points yet. A couple of scriptures, I was actually amazed that there's several different scriptures that talk about what it takes, how do we discern His will. And one of them is, and you can turn to Romans chapter 12 for this one, we need to be transformed. And I already talked a little bit about this, but the only way we'll really know God's will, and that is if we repent and if we allow Him to transform us. And here it uses a word that is very close to the, when you look it up, it kind of means the same as discern. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. And that word prove there is the same as discern. That ye may, let's use it that way tonight, that ye may discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So tonight, the only way that we can understand what God's will is, and that is that we are not conformed to the world. Now, we could go a lot of different ways with that. This is not a sermon on nonconformity, but there is something that makes you different than the rest of society, okay? And that difference should be obvious. It should be obvious in, I'm going to suggest, all areas of life. Because the be not conformed actually means fashioned like, or to be like someone else's pattern, be a pattern after something. And when we know that in society and in there's things that just stick out, and that's because that they don't really match any pattern out there. And that's what we should be to the world, and that is our speech should be different, our dress should be different, our thoughts should be different, our focus should be different, and there just should be a complete difference. And when we are transformed, and this is part of it, then we can discern God's will. So I was thinking about this the other day when I was driving down the road and I was following some truck in front of me, and I just was thinking, how would he discern the Lord's will? Well, can he? Well, a good chance he can't. He really doesn't know. I don't know how the lost society goes through life. I guess, I don't know. I guess they just, what happens, happens. They talk about good luck and Mother Nature and all this stuff. But it's God. It's God's will simply working out, playing out. And that's what we need to understand, that this is, God is in control. And we're thinking about being, not being conformed. We have these words in John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's all out there. All those things that, and I think about the pride of life and how that, it affects us. We want to be somebody, and we want somebody to notice us. And when that's our mindset, then God's will is going to be hard to figure out, because, see, we have a focus on what we want and who we are. And God's will be hard to find. Another thing I have here, and that is we must know God's laws. Psalmist David wrote this, I delight to do thy will, yea, thy law is within my heart. And we still have the law of God with us today, and I mentioned that earlier, and that is that we have God's laws. We must know them. We must have it. We must know the word. It must be part of us. It must be in our hearts. Another way to discern the Lord's will, and that is by fasting. And fasting is something not often talked about, but you see it in Scripture in times when people are in like an intense struggle, an intense desire to know what God wants. And I thought of Ezra. He was there in Babylon, Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 and 23. Ezra was there in Babylon. He's getting ready to go up to Jerusalem, and the king says, listen, it's going to be dangerous when you go up there, and I've got a whole army of soldiers here I'll send up with you to protect you. And Ezra's a little scared. He says, he's a little bit scared. And he's like, Lord, what should I do? I mean, how should this happen? And I guess God didn't just speak to him out loud like he did some of the Old Testament prophets. But it says that Ezra just proclaimed a fast. And he told all the people, he said, listen, I don't want to use the king's army and use his manpower, because I told him that God will take care of us. But now I am a little fearful what's going to come out of this. And so it says in 21, then I proclaimed a fast there, that we might afflict ourselves before our God. To do what? To seek a right way for us. Seek of him a right way. So there's times where it's good to just fast. Cut out something that's normal in your life. Cut out some food. Cut out some, there's all kinds of other fasts you can take. If you have a problem with technology or whatever, maybe cut that off for a while. And seek what God's will is. Because it says that one down, a couple of verses says, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he listened. So God likes whenever we get intentional, and we ask, and we pray, and he tells that we're serious about this, not just, well, God, what do you want me to do? If I don't get any answer, I'm just going to do this. He likes when we search, especially in the hard things in life, and things that are big things in our lives. Another way we understand his will, and that is we must trust God. Proverb writer says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and what? He shall direct your paths. And that's where in life we just need to believe that God is always working. We just need to trust that. Yeah, things aren't just by chance. It isn't just Mother Nature. But it's God. And we need to point people to that fact that it's God. And this is what God has for me now. And I don't understand why this is happening, but it's what God's will is. God is in control. And it says, trust in the Lord. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And until we completely surrender and say, God, we understand that you're in control. Then we can't allow God to direct us. You see, this evening I didn't come here because I understand the will of God. I simply came here because I believe that God is in control of my life. And one day I went through an ordination and I was ordained a minister, and I always thought ministers were special to them, but I decided since they aren't, at least this one's not. But see, I believe that God is in control of my life, and I believe there's a reason that he asked me to come here. And for me to try to decide whether I should really come or not, and try to think of a good reason not to, is taking that trust away. Now, I know we can't say yes to everything in life, but I would like to challenge you, and that is, do you trust God to direct your ways? And when he is calling for some sort of a service, some sort of kingdom responsibility from you, do you leave self and what I want to do help make that decision? Or you just say, God, if this is what you want, I'll serve. Now, I know there's times where people are serving in other areas and that people aren't aware of and they get calls, but I think it's important in life that we just allow God to direct. That's the way his will works. That's the way he shows me his will, and that is, that I just say, Lord, when somebody asks me to do something, if it's Lord, whatever you want me to do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine understanding. Another way that we figure discern God's will, and that is that we need to walk circumspectly. And circumspectly means walking diligently and perfectly, and I'm going to say with purpose. We have Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Give me thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It takes wisdom to discern God's will. And there's a connection between living diligently and being filled with wisdom. Haphazard living, careless living, will never lead to wisdom. And being filled with wisdom will never give us the knowledge and the wisdom that we need to discern God's will. It will take away from that. And in the end of that little section that I read there, talked about submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And that's where if we as individuals think that we got it all figured out, then we're violating the scripture where it says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We need other people to speak into our lives and to help us to understand whether we're, otherwise we'll get off course. We're naturally bent to go off course. And I believe that we'll go there. It's the reason I believe in brotherhood. I believe in brotherhood where we care about each other and we relate to each other. And what's going on in each other's lives. Another one I have here is pray. And that's kind of a simple one. That's what we do when we want to know God's will, right? We pray. We have this in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 24. We'll read these verses. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Actually, turn to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5 there, so you can read it in person. This next verse here was what I really wanted to focus on. First Thessalonians 5, starting here at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Prayer and thanksgiving. Pray without ceasing. To understand the will of God, we need to pray. We need to seek His will. Matthew 7:7-8 says this, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seeking ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For unto everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. It doesn't matter tonight whether you have a big decision or a little decision. But pray about it. And I find that, and you can pray any time about it. Okay, I find some of my, I spend a fair amount of time sometimes on the road, and I like to pray when I'm driving. And you don't have to pray with your eyes shut, by the way, in case you always thought you did. You can pray with your eyes open. And just pretend, believe, I guess, that God is right there beside you on the offhand seat. Maybe he's at the steering wheel, probably where he is. But just pray and speak to him and ask him about things and how you're supposed to know. And then whenever you're praying and you're thinking about these things and you hear this, you have this feeling. So maybe you call it a gut feeling. I'm going to call it a Holy Spirit nudge. Take it as Him speaking to you. Because that's the way He speaks. Sometimes you're thinking about something. He's like, what should I do? And it's like, maybe I should be doing this. And you kind of have this thought come when you're praying about it. It's like, if there's not a reason not to, go for it. Okay? That's probably God revealing His will in some way, shape, or form. And then, Not only pray about it for your own personal needs, and for which that's wonderful, but it's also good to pray for others, and it's good in a congregation if you know a little bit what other people are facing, because there's power in collective prayer. We have that in Colossians 1. Turn there, it's a couple pages over. We have Paul here writing this in Colossians chapter 1. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see, here Paul was praying for the Colossians. And he says that we continue to pray for you that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. You see, when there's more people praying about an issue that you're facing, about a decision you're trying to make, there is a God reveals his will, I'm going to say more, and maybe better. Collective praying. God answers prayers, all of them. Even though, as I was talked about earlier on, when Habakkuk said, how long am I going to pray and you aren't going to answer it? And God showed him that, yes, I'm hearing. And we need to believe that. We need to believe that God's hearing. And sometimes in life, we're trying to figure out the Lord's will, and I'm going to suggest this tonight, and that is, if you're trying to figure out what the Lord's will is and you don't know what it is, don't just sit down and do nothing. Keep being busy, keep doing what you know is the right thing to do, and allow God in his time to show you the next step. I don't think God intended us to just, when he's silent on an issue, that we just sit down somewhere and mope and say, well, God, I don't know why you didn't even answer me. I'm going to just do my own thing. No, just have patience, because God doesn't always answer right away. Sometimes it takes some time. And as we go through life and as we continue to make right decisions and what we know is right, then sometimes God will reveal his will in other areas that we were looking for. And lastly, God wants to help us. God wants to help us to understand his will. And I like we often use this in benediction, but Hebrews 13, 20-21 says this: Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And God has that ability. God has the ability to work life out so that we can, first of all, understand his will, and secondly, that we can do his will. And there's a certain peace in knowing that, not understanding exactly everything that God wants and understanding his will exactly and trying to figure out whether I'm exactly where he wants me to be, but there's peace in knowing that I've given everything that I have for his service and for his kingdom. And Lord, just show me the next step and help me to understand what that will is. So tonight, I don't know what your thoughts is on discerning the Lord's will, but my desire is that everyone here will continue to see life God conscious, understanding that life is happening for a reason, and what God has bringing into my life is for a reason. And whether we can understand the will or not, we know it is the will of God. And that we would live a life that He can prompt us and He can speak to us, and we have these questions, Lord, what should we do about this situation, that we can find rest in knowing that if we continue to do what's right, he will show us. He always does. It's Neil.